All right. Good morning, church family. Welcome. Thank you for braving the cold to be here. And I really do hope parking wasn't too bad this morning. And if we haven't met, my name is Huey, and I get to serve as one of the pastors here. And if you are visiting us for the very first time, or if this is your first time back in church in a long time, let me be one of the first ones to welcome you back to church this morning. We're so glad you're worshiping with us here. And I know Central Youth students and leaders, you guys are in here in this building for the rest of this month, and I'm just really glad and excited that we get to worship together for this month. As Elder Key prayed, February is Missions Month. It's one of the tangible ways that we seek to live out one of our core values of being a commissioned church. Our desire is to be a church that leans into the call of the great commandment, which is to go and make disciples of all nations, as a grateful response to God's grace toward us in Christ, and a growing love for his heart for the world. So our focus for this year's Missions Month will be not only to learn about what missionaries do, but also to learn about how they live, their daily and weekly rhythms, their ordinary faithfulness, and what it looks like to follow Jesus and love people in the places that God has called and sent them. So throughout Missions Month, we will watch short videos that will give us a day in the life of three missionaries that we do support: Paul and Susan Lee in Cambodia, whom we just prayed for, Yuma and Ashley Takai in Japan, and John Lee in Cambodia. Our hope is that as we see their lives and ministries more clearly, we will grow in understanding and gratitude and prayer and support for them. And on the last Sunday of Missions Month, we're going to watch a video from our very own Pastor Owen, Elder Peter, and John So, who are currently on a vision trip to Southeast Asia to visit missionaries in Thailand, Cambodia, and the Philippines. They are there to serve and encourage our missionaries who are serving in those particular places, and also to prayerfully discern a potential deeper partnership with one of those missionary teams. So if you do remember them, please pray for them. Please pray for the families that they've left behind for a short time, just asking God to encourage them and encourage their hearts. And in addition to these videos that we're going to be watching, we will also be in a four-week sermon series called Joining God's Mission from Promise to Participation. And we're going to consider together that missions find their priority and their purpose in the nature and the character of God. And we, as followers of Jesus, are invited to joyfully participate in what God is already doing, both locally and globally, as some are called to go, and all of us are called to give, support, pray, and to send. And our prayer is that God would use this Missions Month to widen our hearts for our missionaries, to deepen our prayers for them, and to remind us that the mission of making the gospel known is carried forward through ordinary faithfulness by ordinary people who are called by an extraordinary God. And if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, and you're here this morning because you've been invited by a friend, and you're curious about the Christian faith, or you are at this point in your life considering the claims of Christianity, let me just say I am so glad you're here with us this morning, and I pray and hope that you will keep coming back this month, because our prayer is that you'll get a glimpse of how deep and wide and long God's love is for the world, and how he graciously invites us, ordinary people like us, to participate in making God's love visible and tangible as we go and give and pray and send. Okay, so with that, I want to introduce you to Paul and Susan Lee in Cambodia. So could we cue the video?
Hi, Christ Central. My name is Paul Lee, and I'm a missionary with Mission to the World. I've been here with my family, my wife Susan, and my two boys, Caleb and Nate. We've started here in late 2010. It's been almost a little over 15 years, and we just are very grateful for all our partners. We're grateful for Christ Central and the partnership that we have with you in the gospel here in Cambodia. In a little bit, I'm gonna call my main mode of transportation. It's called a tuk-tuk, and I'll be headed to our team office where we have a weekly meeting with some pastors that I work with, the Cambodian pastors, where we study the Bible together and encourage one another. The tuk-tuk is about to arrive. Swastepo. So we're riding in the tuk-tuk now. This is my driver. Those flags you see are the national flags. There is a conflict right now with Thailand on the border. A lot of people are showing their support and for the troops and for the country by displaying flags outside their residence and outside their workplaces. My transit to the office is usually about 30 to 40 minutes, depending on traffic. So I'll show you some of the roads, and then we'll get to the office in a little bit. And up ahead is the Khmer Christian Church building. It is a church.
Yep.
It's where our team office is and also where dormitories are. So this is the bottom floor, the ground floor. It's where most of the students park their motos. A lot of students have already left for class. So I'll show you the worship hall. This is where we have our Sunday worship. And I think some of the students are actually making breakfast right now. Oh, Suste, Arum Suste.
You turn diet.
This is our continuing ed class that we meet every Friday morning. It's an opportunity for us to study the Bible together, encourage one another, yeah, equip each other as we do a ministry of God's Word. These are men here that some of these men are ordained pastors, others are candidates for ruling elders, and some we have joining us via Zoom. Some of these men I've been doing ministry with for over 14 years, and it's just been a great encouragement to see how faithful they have been, and many times a ministry that's very trying and challenging. We're having lunch together. So we have a weekly fast, but then every month we have a meal together. And this is our last meal of 2025. So the pastors, after we've been eating God's Word together, now we're going to eat some food together. Yeah, it's our end of year celebration. They wanted to eat Chinese. So we're at a Chinese restaurant. Thank you, Christ Central, for your partnership in the gospel. Yeah, we're grateful for all your prayers. Pray for the conflict between Thailand and Cambodia. Pray for peace and pray for wisdom with the leaders of both countries. Pray for the believers in both countries that even though there's fighting between their nations, that the church could be united. Pray for the church in Cambodia. The church in Cambodia is young. And finally, a personal prayer, if you could pray for my family, pray for my son, Nathaniel. He's going to be going to the U.S. next year to study in college. Pray that the time remaining, that it could be sweet, that we can have time together, building each other up and encouraging him as he heads off to school. Thank you so much, Christ Central. Peace. Happy New Year.
Amen. 15 plus years of their faithfulness in Cambodia. We thank God for Paul and Susan and their family for being there for so long. For the rest of our time, we're going to be in Psalm 67. So if you have a Bible with you, would you mind turning there with me? If you do not have one, please look on the screens with me, Psalm 67. And in this short psalm, we are actually getting a small window into what God has revealed about himself. Okay, Psalm 67, and I want to read this for us. Psalm 67, beginning in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this past Tuesday, my family and I, we were all in the basement, and we were moving some furniture around. And this one particular moment in the afternoon, we found ourselves sort of kind of huddled in a circle. And in that moment, I get a phone call. And it's a phone call from it's a familiar number. And I pick up and I put it on speaker. And we hear the voice on the other line, and it's actually a very familiar voice. And I would say it's probably a phone call that no parents want to receive. And the phone call, the voice on the other line said, Loudoun County Public School is closed Wednesday, January 28th. And as soon as those words were heard by my children, all of them, without prompting, unscripted, raw, erupted in this passionate cry of relief and joy and excitement. And they started, without prompting, they started running around the basement. And in an instant, I got a window into what my children are passionate about, what they get so excited about. And I was thinking this week, have we ever considered what God is passionate about? What actually excites the heart of God? And this morning, I only have actually just one point, which is the sermon title for today. God's passion for his glory in the joy of the nations. All throughout the Bible, it is an unmistakable and unwavering reality that God is passionate about his glory. That is at the core of what God has revealed and central to where all of creation is headed toward. God is deeply committed to his glory being on full display and his name being known and honored and praised among all peoples. Therefore, Psalm 67 begins, may God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face to shine upon us. But why? What is the end goal? Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. And just so that we are clear that this is not just a proof text or something that was just kind of teased out for the sake of this message, and just so that it is unmistakably clear to us this morning, and maybe even hopefully to stir our own hearts and affections around this, I want to give you a couple more examples. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 48, the book of Isaiah stands in the middle of our Bibles, and prophet Isaiah is holding in tension God's judgment on sin and the promise of God's hope and redemption for his people. And God declares in Isaiah 48 through the prophet Isaiah, he says, for my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. Verse 11, for my own sake, for my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. And prophet Ezekiel says something very similar. He says, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I was particularly reminded of Psalm 19 this week. You know, in the midst of complaining about all the snow we're getting, and in the midst of complaining about all the shoveling that I needed to do, in the midst of complaining about how cold it is and how cold it will be, in the midst of all of that, I had actually forgotten Psalm 19:1, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." I had forgotten to take a moment just to wonder and to ponder and to consider how beautiful and how awesome and sometimes even how terrifying even the snow can be. How about Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14? This is waiting for all of us. Verse 14 says, For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I'm going to skip Romans chapter 4. It's really good. So if you have time this afternoon, please read it. I'm just going to skip that just for the sake of time. And I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, this I'm sure this is very familiar to many of us. And I hope and pray that you would hear it with fresh ears this morning. And apparently for the Apostle Paul, this was just a long run-on sentence. Ephesians 1, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." Look at verse 6. "To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth, in him." And Paul is not done. Verse 11, "In him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In Jesus, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Do you hear Paul's logic? And Paul is speaking to all of us in this room who have put our faith and hope in Jesus. Paul says, in Christ, we've been loved better than we deserve and more than we can ever fathom. And we have been lavishly and eternally graced from the moment we set foot in this world, through all the ups and downs, through all the twists and turns, through all the highs and lows. Paul says, we have been carried along by God's sovereign and good purposes in and over our lives. The Apostle Paul declares that we have been blessed and chosen and predestined and forgiven and adopted and sealed in Christ and because of Christ and through Christ, not to passively sit in our pews on Sunday mornings or to merely endure and survive this broken world until Jesus gets us into heaven, or to have our days consumed by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth, power, and comfort. Instead, Paul declares that we have been blessed, chosen, predestined, forgiven, adopted, and sealed in Christ so that we might live joyfully, gratefully, strategically, intentionally, generously, confidently, and hopefully to the praise of God's glorious grace. You see, it is unmistakably clear and certain that this is the storyline of all of Scripture, that God is passionate about his glory. He is deeply committed to his glory being on full display and his name being known and honored and praised and treasured among all peoples. And dear friends, if this indeed is what God is passionate about, If this indeed is at the heart of what God has revealed and where all of creation is headed toward, then the praise of God's glory, the enjoyment and the treasuring of his glory must be our passion as well. And that means the unmerited gift of our salvation, the indispensable gift of our faith, our time and our treasures and our talents, and even God's sustaining grace and mercy in our trials and afflictions are meant to be used and stewarded to make much of God's wisdom and power and glory, so that, as the psalmist declares in Psalm 67, so that let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. In other words, our participation in the work of missions, both locally and globally, and the gospel's invitation for us to live missionally where we live, work, and play and study, is compelled by God's unwavering passion for his glory in the praise and in the joy of all peoples. Pastor and author John Piper, in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, he says this: the goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God. The goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God. I read that and I said, but like, why gladness of all things? Like, why joy? I feel like it would have been maybe more fitting for it to be maybe like, let the nations believe, or like, let the nations have faith, right? It might be more fitting for us to say, let the nations obey, or let the nations be holy. Why not holy? Why gladness and why joy? Why is God passionate about his glory in the joy and in the gladness of the nations? It's because we will not commend God to others if we don't cherish him in our hearts. It's because we will not compel others to boast in God if we don't find him to be beautiful in our hearts. We will not compel others to trust in God if we don't treasure him in our hearts. That's why John Piper famously coined this phrase: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Dear fellow believers and sisters and brothers, are you satisfied in God this morning? God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And missions, dear friends, is the labor of faith and love through word and deed, through our going, our giving, our sending, our praying, that invites and compels every nation, tribe, and tongue to find their deepest joy and gladness and satisfaction in God himself, to the praise of his glory. That's why missions exist. Revelation chapter 7, I don't know if you remember, but I referenced this passage a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the purpose of corporate singing. And we said that singing is a preview or a rehearsal of what is to come. And I want to read this to us one more time. Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the angels, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Church family, let's be very, very clear about one thing this morning. The vision that we're given here is not one of duty, but one of delight. The vision that we're given in Revelation 7 is not one of begrudging obedience, but one of earnest affection. This vision is not one of finding God to be merely intellectually believable, but one of finding God to be all-consumingly beautiful. Therefore, missions exist because God is the most beautiful and satisfying reality in all of the universe. He always was, and he always is, and he always will be. And to that end, so that every nation, tribe, and language and tongue would find God to be the most beautiful and satisfying reality, God sent forth into the world the greatest missionary that ever walked the earth, his one and only beloved Son, Jesus, to make the presence of God with us visible. He sent forth his Son to be the sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sins by grace through faith, something that we cannot earn. And he sent forth his greatest missionary in Jesus to make certain the unconditional and the unwavering love of God for undeserved sinners through his death on the cross, and so that he can be the sure hope of our healing, of our restoration, of our redemption, of our hearts, of our bodies, of our relationships, and of the world through his powerful resurrection over the grave. He did all of that so that as Jesus prayed to the Father God in John chapter 17, Jesus said, "But now I'm coming to you, God, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." God did all of that so that God's joy may be fulfilled in us. Do you remember a writer of Hebrews? The writer of Hebrews writes, it was for the joy set before Jesus that he endured the cross. Do you know what that joy is? It's the joy of knowing Jesus, and it's the joy of making much of God's glory in us. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Missions exist because God is passionate about his glory in the joy and in the gladness of the nations. And if indeed God is most glorified in us, and he is most glorified in the nations, when we are most satisfied in him, dear friends, our labor in going and in giving and in praying and sending is to make the all-beautiful and all-satisfying joy and gladness in God visible, tangible, accessible, and believable. That is the work of missions. It is our labor in going, giving, praying, and sending. All of that is to make the all-beautiful and all-satisfying joy in God visible and tangible and accessible and believable. So church family, this morning, what we need to grapple with first and foremost is not whether we care enough about missions or whether or not our church is doing enough for missions. That is not the first and foremost question we need to grapple with. It would probably be a secondary issue. What we first need to grapple with is this: do we find God to be the most beautiful and the most satisfying reality in the universe and in our hearts, who is worth making much of in our hearts and in the places we live, work, and play and study, and in the nations? Because when our hearts are not captivated by the glory of God, our desire for missions will inevitably grow stale. Let me quote John Piper one more time. He says, "If the pursuit of God's glory is not ordered above the pursuit of man's good in the affections of the heart, and the priorities of the church, man will not be served well, and God will not be duly honored. So in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says that in our human condition, that in our flesh, we exchange the glory of God for lesser glories that are temporary and fleeting and passing away. You know what the Apostle Paul is saying? Paul is saying, it's not that who God is and what he has done for us, it's not that that's not glorious enough. He's saying that we constantly and relentlessly settle for far lesser glories. We get so busy and so distracted with lesser glories that our minds and our eyes and our hearts are not captivated by the glory of God in Christ Jesus. So again, what we need to grapple with first and foremost as we consider the work of missions is this: in what areas of our lives are you and I prone and tempted to exchange the glory of God for lesser glories? Who or what is keeping you busy, distracted, and apathetic that we constantly and relentlessly exchange the glory of God for lesser glories? What does that look like for you? And for this, for today and for the rest of this missions month, and maybe, hopefully, for the rest of our lives, maybe we can pray a different kind of prayer. Isaiah 26, verse 8, and I'll close with this. Isaiah 26, 8 says, "Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts." What if this became our prayer for our own lives and our own hearts as we are constantly pulled away to lesser glories? What if we prayed for our families, for those of us who have children? What if we began to pray this for our children? What if we began to pray this for our loved ones, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors? What if we began to pray this for our church? "Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts." May this be true of us. May this be true of me. As we lean into Missions Month, as we lean into the call of the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, it actually begins with us beholding the glory of God and living for the praise of God's glory. Because God is the all satisfying and all joyous reality in all the universe. Let's pray together. Before we head into other spaces that we need to head to this afternoon, if the pursuit of God's glory is not ordered above the pursuit of man's good, in the affections of our hearts and the priorities of the church, man will not be well served and God will not be duly honored. Could we just kind of take a moment just to grapple with that, to ponder that together, and maybe even for some of us here in this room, to may the kindness of God lead us to repentance? Would you ask God to stir your affections for the glory of Jesus? Glory of Jesus that will never ever fade away, that will never ever disappear. But it's the glory of Jesus that will remain permanent when all is said and done. If you're a parent in this room and you have children sitting beside you, would you pray for your children that they would see with their eyes, that they would believe in their hearts, that the glory of God in Jesus Christ is all supreme and all satisfying, that the lesser glories will begin to fade away around them. Let's just take a moment to pray. Would you pray this for your own heart? Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of my heart. Let's just take a moment to pray together. If you are able, can I invite you to stand? And we're going to pray Isaiah 26:8 over Paul and Susan in Cambodia as they shared about their oldest son going to college in the States, as Elder Key prayed for Susan's health. As they endure and walk through difficult circumstances in their lives in Cambodia, we're going to pray that their life, their ministry, their faithfulness will be rooted and anchored in this, that they would endure and live with a reckless abandon for the gospel of Jesus Christ in Cambodia, and they will be anchored by this, that God's name and God's renown will be the desire of their heart. So could you join me and let's pray for Paul and Susan this morning. Let's pray together. Pray with me this morning as, every Sunday we have our Central Kids joining us. This month we have the privilege of having our youth students be part of our service, and even our youth leaders that are most of their Sundays are spent in the large NPR, they're here with us. Could we pray that our children, the next generation, will be anchored and carried along by this one desire, for the name and the fame and the renown of God, for it to be the desire of their hearts. Let's pray that the lesser glories of this world will begin to fade away, that they will see with their eyes and perceive in their hearts that the glory of God is worth all of it to the glory of Jesus. So can we pray for our Central Kids and Central Youth soon? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, by your grace through faith. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you, your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. God, we believe, but would you help our unbelief? And would you be so pleased to do a work in us and for us that no human being can do? Make us be captivated by the glory of Jesus. That we would spend our days beholding Jesus, beholding his glory who is seated on the throne, that we would adore him with the greatest of our affections, that we would adore him. So let this be true in our hearts, in our homes, in our workplaces, and God, by your grace and power in the nations. We love you. It's for your beautiful name we pray. Amen.